Hi, Art Supply Posse.
Our newest member of the posse comes to us via recently returned guest Jacqueline Gordian. She kindly reached out to her network of artists, and now here I am, about to learn more about the gorgeous art of Gianna Tassoni. Hi, Gianna. Welcome to the Art Supply Posse.
Hi. Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I'm so excited to have you. When I first opened your website to start doing a little bit of research, I just thought to myself, my only question is why and how, or two questions, why and how? Like, yeah, that's not enough, Kim. You need to put some more thought into it. But I was like, I literally just went, oh my goodness. And then how and why? And I'm like, yeah, you need a bit more. You need a bit more than that. Oh, but like, you. I love what you create. But before we get to the how and the why, because we will. I want to step back a little bit before art became your sort of primary thing. What is your first artistic memory?
Oh, goodness. Great question. I mean, memories maybe, I have pictures to prove it, yep. But as far as memories go, it would be, goodness, in my first childhood home, we had an unfinished basement with concrete walls, and my parents so graciously allowed my sisters and I to just go wild on it with paint, with crayons, with whatever we wanted to. So that's my earliest memory, would be just doodling, scribbling, making pictures, handprints, like all over that concrete wall. So it was just like this ongoing, continuous mural of just creative expression. It was so much fun, and we at some point like had to paint like white over it because it got so crowded with all these different doodles and scribbles, and it was the best thing. So that was a very fond memory growing up, and like having that little space dedicated to that, like it sparked something in me, and it gave me that like excitement and permission to use that same excitement that I do now. So it's great.
And I guess the fabulous thing about that is, unlike most situations where you would be a child creating art in a book, mm-hmm. you had, like, as soon as you walked into that room, you can see it. So you don't even have to, like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's there immediate. Yeah. There's no opening of a page or a cover and flipping to a blank page. Like, it's just walls it's go.
There. Yeah.
Like, it's just there.
And it's like, it's great because it's like, it like sucks you in. Like, you see, like, I remember I would see it. I'm like, oh, I have to go like color that, or I really want to do this. And you're so right. It draws you in. It was so much fun.
Very so what I'm actually going to bypass a couple of questions that I had that I wanted to ask first, because now mm-hmm. that you've said that, I'm wondering, is that what has informed you to create such large pieces of work? Because does that just feel like, that's just normal for you, right? Like that's got to be normal. If you grew up painting on walls, drawing on walls, then the bigger, the better.
Yes. you really hit the nail on the head with that. That's absolutely why I contribute, or like what I contribute the big pieces to. My biggest piece is a 15 foot long triptych, you know, cut into mm-hmm. three. Absolutely. Yes. Because when I was making that piece, I was like, oh my gosh, this is what I felt like a kid again, you know, but going back to my childhood with the basement wall. So yeah, that's absolutely part of it. And I love making big work. It's where I feel most free, most alive. Like I can actually like move my body how I want to, like use my body movement to create, you know, whatever kind of marks and how it can help inform the movements of the paintbrush across the canvas. And it's so much fun to me. It's like a sport in a way.
Yeah, it does sound a little bit like and I don't want to say exercise because that's the wrong word, but it does sound very physical. Like mm-hmm. and I guess does it in a way keep you fit because of that movement? Like it must, in a way, it must. Just a little, even yeah, just a little bit, yeah. but it must. Not that I'm saying there's absolutely. Anything wrong with sitting oh, totally. Down to make out. Sitting down to make out is fine. However, something tells me this is really good for you.
I joke about it because there are some sessions where I'll come away from and I'm like, oh my gosh, I just broke a sweat. Like, what was that? Because I'll find myself, like, especially with tall pieces, like I'm jumping up and down to like reach the top of the canvas. Like, I'm stubborn and I won't get a ladder if I don't have to, or like a step stool, whatever. Because I'm not, you know, terribly tall. I'm so, but I like to approach a challenge. A challenge, and I'm like, okay, well, I have legs that can jump. I'm going to like just have fun with this and jump to the top of the canvas. So yes, it keeps me. It's never a dull moment being in the studio, and you know, I likewise, you know, outside of the studio, like I want to stay fit. Athletics is a huge part of my background and my story, and I still train like an athlete. So it all bleeds into kind of the same vein. I felt like it stayed separate for a while, but it's very much like all a part of me. And, you know, those two disciplines really complement one another. And that's another thing I'm very grateful for. So yes, it is a workout and it's fun. Again, it's so much fun. I love getting to do what I do.
I think actually you like look, and I know I'm only looking on a screen, like I'm looking at your work on a screen, mm-hmm. but I think you can kind of see that physicality in the works. Like mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. that was a thought I had. I did think to myself, is she getting on a ladder? Is she getting on a stool? Like, because I'd be thinking, well, that would be so much easier. But then now you've explained it like that, and certainly with the athletic side of you, well, it kind of makes more sense. And I guess in mm-hmm. a way, that's how that art piece, that artwork really becomes you fully, because you are using all of the sides of you to create mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. that piece.
Yeah, like I it's me in its like rawest form. And it's that's something I've realized has become a very necessary part of my process, and my just kind of the like the philosophy of my practice is like I want it to be the essence of me, and I don't want to rely on you know, too many external things as crutches, or you know, in anything that would hinder like me in my fullest coming out on the canvas. So yeah, it's all very much just play and kind of uninhibited. It's very fun. Yeah.
So for pieces that of the size that you work with, are you actually making the services yourself, or are you purchasing them at that sort of size? Like, what's the logistics, I guess?
Yeah, yeah. Well, the biggest, you know, a lot of logistics that go into that. I've done both. So I've mm-hmm. gone both ways. I used to buy, you know, plenty of my canvases when I was, you know, a little bit, bit earlier in my career. And then when I was in undergrad, I learned how to make my own canvases because I wanted to go so big, and I was like, oh, I can't buy these in that size and in the dimensions that I wanted to accomplish. Mm-hmm. And so one of my professors, helped me, instructed me how to, you know, with woodworking and, how to assemble it correctly. And it was really, really special to get to know that like firsthand down to the nitty gritty. And it became such an intimate process. And I realized that, again, like you pour so much more of yourself into it, of the time, your energy into those finite into those really intricate details. So, and again, I think it goes down to like every bit of what we do. And I want every part of that painting to have like love and care and attention to detail poured into it. So I rarely buy my own canvases. Only, you know, maybe like 15% of the time will I go out and purchase a canvas, but I love making and love stretching my own canvases.
Mm-hmm. And I guess that's the thing, isn't it? It does, when you've started that, like when you're using a surface that you've created, a canvas that you've created, mm-hmm. it is fully you. It's your mm-hmm. hands have been there across right from the very beginning, the whole entire Absolutely. Process. So then how, you mentioned your art studies, how does that mm-hmm. inform where you are now? Like, because yeah. is, what? Well, I guess what I'm asking is the process of like the education of learning fine art and art history and things like that,
mm-hmm.
how does it then lead you to become the artist you are now? Like, has that freed you up? Has it given you inspiration? Is it a sort of a bit of everything?
That's good. I absolutely believe it is what you make it. Any education that you have the privilege of experiencing, going through, it's an investment. So if you choose to look at it that way and approach it as an investment, get what you want out of it, you're going to get that return. And my time in undergrad, those 4 years in art school, choosing to study art was one of the best decisions I ever made, because initially I was going to go pre-med. I wanted to go into research and neuroscience, and that was really what I thought was the mm-hmm. right path to go. And I mean, don't get me wrong, I was wildly interested in anatomy and physiology. That was one of my best subjects in high school. And honestly, one of my dreams to go pre-med and eventually into research. But it was so apparent to me that how my art practice was going, how it was developing. Like, I was in classes from middle school through high school, and it started to develop into more of a passion, into something that was more than a passion. And so when I made the decisions to study it in undergrad, it felt so in alignment. It was so me. It was I really loved being there. No one told me what to do. No one told me to make that decision. So it was fully me. Like, I fully owned that decision, and it was hard. I'm like, not gonna sugarcoat it. You know, I had to come up against some some stigma and people who didn't understand, like, why are you studying art? Like, what are you gonna do with art? And I'm like, well, what can't you do with it? Like, it's art. You know, mm-hmm. I never fully understood why people had that perspective. Like, because I've grown up an artist, like, that's all, you know, that was my bread and butter growing up. Like, I loved it. So I had that perspective going into it. Like, well, what can't you do with it? Like, the sky's the limit, really. So all the classes that I took, I found really intriguing. Even some of the drier history classes, I wanted to find purpose in it. I wanted to find meaning. I wanted to find, well, how can I apply this to what I'm doing, and what's interesting? And I don't know. I always just, you know, stayed very curious and very intentional about what I did. I attribute that to my upbringing, and very grateful for that. Again, being an athlete, like, it's, you know, you just had to stay invested and understand that it's for a greater reason. It's not just you can't just go through the motions. Like, you have to put those things into practice, and it will pay off in the end. So, you know, everything that I studied, everything, you know, anything from concept and theory to art history to seminar or, you know, to every critique, like I wanted just to get the most out of it because I had to work my butt off to get there. So, it was a blessing that I got to study art. It was a really special gift, and it informed and gave me a lot of freedom that I have now. Gave me a really important framework and platform to launch off of. And I, you know, there's a lot of conversation around, you know, do you go to art school? Do you not? Like, is it a hindrance? Is it not? But again, it's like, it is what you make it. And I chose to see it as truly a blessing. And it gave me the tools that I needed. It gave me a frame or a pair of glasses to look through the world and to see the world through that perspective. And, you know, be able to make my own decisions about it, be able to adjust and adapt. And, I'm very grateful for all of it. It gives you context and understand the world that you're living in. Doesn't, you know, I do believe that you need a certain level of training if you want to pursue something as a career. It just does give you different insight, different opportunities.
Well, I think it also gives you a chance to observe a little deeper the people that came before you.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't just mean, you know, the old masters, but so many other artists.
Absolutely.
And I guess that's the one thing, or one of the things an art education gives you, is that you've got those people and that you're surrounded by those minds that have that information or can help you access that information, so you can see, you can learn more about those who came before you, what they did,
yeah.
And then either choose to utilize similar techniques to them, or in actual fact go look at what they've done and go, oh, why didn't they do it this way? Like, because I think that's one of the things I love about art so much, is there are so many different ways to achieve essentially the same result, which is creating a piece of art. Like, you know, and I mean, you're a perfect example of that, because you use multiple different mediums to create one single piece. And I guess that art education sort of afforded you that, or it sounds like it did, that opportunity to see what could be done and what others did, and then what could be done and where you wanted to take it.
Absolutely. And that was another a huge component I didn't mention, was, you know, you see what's come before you, and there's a respect that's cultivated for the arts. There's, you know, because if you don't study history, how can you understand what to move forward in? You know, what's the future going to hold if you don't understand what was before you, and where are you in that timeline, and where do you want to go? You said it perfectly. There's definitely a respect cultivated, and I think it's a very necessary humility, in a way. I think, you know, we can create out of ego very easily, and that's definitely a hot topic that can come further in conversation. But I think that we can find ourselves creating much more so out of ego instead of like that place of honesty. And if, how can we be honest with ourselves and understand our limitations and the time that we're in? You know, all of it's in a huge conversation if we don't understand what came before us and what people were doing and what, you know, what's the conversation of the current time that we're living in. You know, all of that's really important to understand art making and human, you know, human behavior and everything. So, definitely understanding, you know, art history and the trajectory of where we go from it is really important.
Yeah, because art is always changing. Like, you know, and it's such a fascinating thing to read any kind of book on art history. to see, especially, I guess, because what that gives us is the ability to sort of see different stages, different periods, kind of, you know, mapped out in a sort of linear way, at least linear enough for the contents of a book. But then there is also the flip side of that, is which is the now, and the art now as it is different to how it was even 10 years ago, let alone even longer. And who knows where it's going to be in the next 10, 20, 30 years time. Like,
exactly.
Yeah. And I suppose you have that respect because you've come at it from that education part, which has allowed you to see things differently, I guess, is one way of doing it, one way of thinking about it. I wonder, did you have that opportunity within that 4 years? Like, did you pick and choose the classes that you took, the education, I guess, the path that you took?
It, in a way, yes, because you could, you know, choose your discipline, you could choose the medium that you wanted to specialize in. And my program at Point Loma, it was a liberal arts in San Diego, fantastic art program. Some of my professors are still, you know, my good friends and mentors. So we were able to choose and decide what direction we wanted to go. And, you know, of course I chose painting. And, you know, it was painting, drawing, that specificity. But I also took sculpture classes and graphic design classes and a multitude of things. You know, we're not speaking my liberal arts education, because I did take, you know, other classes, you know, well-rounded education outside of the arts. And that is a huge contribution. Like, again, it is what you make it. And a lot of people can choose to say, no, I don't, you know, I don't want all that fluff. I don't want all those extra classes. I just want to hone in on my craft. And there's a lot of beauty in that. Like, it depends on who you are and what your path is. But for me, I found so much joy and so much excitement and like in finding how everything connected. Like, how can I connect the dots? Where does art connect to music? Where does it connect to mathematics? Where does it, you know, how does math connect to literature? All these different things. And that would help inform my artist practice and the way that I would paint, the way that I would, you know, use color and music really started to influence my practice towards the end of the few years. So it was really interesting to see, again, you know, how I chose to show up and how I chose to let the education, you know, how I let that experience form my practice. And it was really cool. Like, I would not have imagined, you know, my first year to my fourth year was, there was a lot of growth that happened, and it was just experimental. It was fun, but I kind of grew up in a way. Mm-hmm. But yeah, when I chose to study painting specifically, I did hone in on that, but then I let a lot of other things inform just that. And I could, you know, kind of pick and choose and kind of put it in a big mixing bowl and see what would come out after that. And it's so cool. Like, I wouldn't be the artist I am right now without it.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned about the desire initially to enter pre-med, and the curious thing for me is because of your bio, it mentions that you use a researched, and I'm quoting, I think, a research-informed and scientifically informed approach to your art. So which kind of gives me thinking more to this question I had initially, because I didn't know when I was first researching, I didn't know about, obviously, that you were interested in entering pre-med. So I'm curious to know, how does that work? Like, how are you using that knowledge I could just take this question. Sorry, my brain is just like, I've got 4 million questions about this one thing. How do you use that aspect of you and your interest in those sort of topics? How does that then get carried over to the art?
Oh, that's a good one. Also, I'll try to well yeah, round it.
Sorry, it's going to be hard. I knew it wasn't going to be straightforward, but I'm like, I need to ask this question. Really sorry in advance, but I know I need to ask it. So.
No, I love it so much because it helps me talk about it too. It's so good. So as I mentioned, it was a very, early on interest of it when I discovered that I was, actually good at science. I was like, oh, this would be really cool. I want to really like kind of press into this and like challenge myself and, be the first in my family to go to, med school, blah, blah, blah. And there's, maybe a little bit of ego behind that too. But I just... because I found it so interesting, like the body to me, the anatomy is art. Like that is the purest form of art. I am constantly blown away by just the intricacies of how the body is designed. And, there's so much purpose and like divine intention behind how the body's created. And that was such a fascination to me. So, let's see, that was, I kind of came about like my sophomore, junior year of high school and, even before that, it wasn't so much like anatomy and physiology, but I was really so fascinated by nature in of itself. Like I was outside as a kid all the time. Like I was playing in the dirt. I was catching bugs. I was playing with our pets. Like I loved being outside. And so nature, that was just a normal part of my life. And growing up in Colorado, like our backyard was the mountains. So I got to, I had that exposure to, the natural world, to natural design, like from a very early age. And, that it just grew and snowballed into the fascination, the appreciation for natural design. Again, that's a big part of my work. So it wasn't until kind of the end of my undergrad education where, because I ran track in college, I was a student athlete. It wasn't until after I graduated that I started to see the overlap of the arts and the sciences. I was like, okay, where does this all come together? And I started to kind of like do some research and the brain really fascinated me. And I wanted to convey like a different component of creativity. I was very fascinated by the creative process. And I engaged in that curiosity and started to kind of hone in on research. And I was like, oh, I've neuroscience of creativity. This is super cool. So I just lost myself in those studies and it like I couldn't get enough of it. Studying more about the brain, studying about like, the inner workings of different regions and how, it's just absolutely amazing and understanding that creativity doesn't live in just like one part of the brain. It is everywhere. It's all encompassing. It's a part of our being. Like we can't not be creative, and it takes form in different ways because we're all gifted in certain areas. And mine is just painting, but it was I let myself, I gave myself permission to let the art and athletics, those two sides of me like coincide and actually kind of find the dovetail of the two, and that was. That I found that in neuroscience, and so that started off. It's really interesting study of how can I portray that? How can I like make my own study kind of scientific? Like how can I experiment? How can I make it how am I acting like a scientist in my own creative process? I'm not just an artist, but how can I do these different studies and these trials and errors and just really, really press into that curiosity even more so. And Yeah, it's again, it's just like continued to naturally and organically come about and like manifest in different ways and grow and mature in the way that I think. And I'm now starting to use the body and understand, you know, different parts of the body and let that be a starting framework of my work. And then how do I put my own spin on it? Like, what is it that I feel inside my own body? How do I want to create that sensation? How do I want to give a visual representation to a sensation that I feel? So it's been an interesting path for sure, but it's all just been by curiosity and letting it happen very organically.
Honestly, I think one of the biggest disservices humanity does to itself is go, there is art here and there is mass there and there is science mm-hmm. there. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not all the same thing, but in a way it is, because it all exists because of the other. Like,
definitely.
Like mm-hmm. I will be the very first person in the world to tell you I don't like mass. I detest it. Mass and not, we don't get on. It's as simple as that. However, I am also now older. When I was younger and, you know, it was very apparent that mass wasn't my thing and that was frowned upon because you need it to be, you know, because people still to this day, you know, when you're mass and scientifically inclined, you're more intelligent than those of us that are more artistically inclined. Completely disagree with that, but that's still a common held belief. Now that I'm older, I realize that it's all one and the same. It's all just a different element of creativity, essentially. Like, mass, definitely. The creative mass brain is not what I have, but I still have a creative brain. And definitely. I think, you know, like, even if I look at your work, or even I play with multimedia stuff as well, that there is art, creativity, but it's also science, because we learn mm-hmm. quickly what materials mm-hmm. you can put over another material and it will dry, or it won't react in a bad way, or it actually will react in a bad way, but that way is a way we want, so we're okay to achieve that. Like, we might not be thinking about it in terms of a scientific formula, but it's still essentially science, right? Like, it's still that there. And I think this whole thing that we do where we say, well, you know, mass is just, that's it, or science, that's it, or creativity, like, it's just all, it's all part of us, essentially. Whether, you know, whether that's your specialty or not, it's not really relevant. What's relevant is it's all sort of just, it kind of all makes up the human person, if that makes any sense at all.
Yeah. Oh, no, 1,000%. And it's just, it's so beautiful to me, because I can, like, you can see, like, in nature, the roots of a tree. It's like, it looks like synapses of a neuron. Like mm-hmm. you see galaxies and other things, like you can cut a tree open, it looks like your eye. Like, there are so many parallels in, like, you see in science and nature and art, and it's so cool. Like, I'm so blown away by it. But when you choose, this is something I've found really interesting. Like, when you engage in the really small details, when you really look deeply, you start to see the bigger picture. Like, you start to see truth. Like, you start to, like, there's something revealed there that you wouldn't otherwise see if you weren't paying attention to the nuance and the details. And it's just being able to study art and to really engage in my own practice and be intentional and like take this approach to it has made me a better person, so to speak. Like, being able to see the bigger picture and see where all the dots are connected and just have this new appreciation for life and of itself and for others and the way that they see the world. And it's really, really quite interesting. And it didn't, that has surprised me over the years. I'm like, how did art of all things make me a kinder, more understanding person? It's because I've, I don't know, chosen to engage in that process and in the nuance and let myself get lost in the details. Like, it's it's really, really quite a blessing.
So being that you are so aware of your body and utilizing that within your pieces, mm-hmm. does that mean that, say, for example, just before you wake up a day that you'd planned on working on a new piece, let's say, for example, or continuing on an existing piece, suddenly you notice, I don't know, you have a sore leg.
Mm-hmm.
Does that then come through in what you're creating? Because are you finding yourself, well, I can't jump to reach that high spot today because I refuse yeah. to help myself and go and get a stepladder because I'm stubborn, clearly. So then, yes, I am projecting. I realize that. It's the bit about the Italian thing that, you know, stubborn Italian is in my mind. But does that mean, well, okay, today we are not doing any crazy jumping up and down with a paintbrush because it's not going to work with my leg. I'm going to make it worse. Or are you pushing through that pain anyway and just going, you know what, let's just run with it? Like, how that affects, like, how your body feels. Clearly how your body feels must change the mm-hmm. outcome mm-hmm. on any given day.
This is such a good question. I love this. And I was actually, this is so funny. I was thinking about this during my workout earlier today. I was like, I'm really wow, like I listen to my body in a way that I've not been able to in the past, and that's a skill that I think it takes some time to develop. But so to backtrack a little bit, I mean, when you get injured as an athlete, like you can't go out 100%. Like, you have to take time off, you have to rest, you have to you just have to adapt. And, you know, there are times when, I was actually injured about half of my career at college. And because I couldn't run, I had to do other things to stay in shape. That could have meant swimming or biking mm-hmm. or Pilates or, you know, whatever it is. But I was like, I need to still take care of my body. How can I do that if it doesn't look like running? Like I had to problem solve in a way, because I wanted to. I saw the benefit of taking care of myself. So given that, you know, knowing my body well, like being able to listen to certain aches and pains and whatnot, it led me to develop a skill of adaptation and adjusting and whatnot. And circling a little bit back to the neuroscience of things, I actually have experienced 4 concussions, I believe.
It's
a minor number compared to some people, but
yes,
it's still,
yes,
you know, a
still.
Concussion is a concussion. Yeah. And your brain is a goodness, like having 4, you know, I actually had my two worst brain traumas were, I mean, acute. They were acute. They weren't, you know, not wildly damaging, but those were within the last 3 years, I want to say. On that level, I got to know myself, not just physically, but mentally and emotionally on an entirely different level. It was wild, to say the least, like the healing process that takes place for a brain trauma is anything but linear. It's anything but mm-hmm. predictable. It's it can kind of take you by surprise. You know, one day you're feeling fine, and then the next you're just emotional for some weird reason, or like you can't think straight or whatever. And everyone's experience is different. But I went through a pretty tough healing process 2021 through, I don't know, it was a good year and a half to see myself kind of come back to like decent functioning after one of my concussions. But there were days where I was like, I want to paint. I need to do this to, you know, stay sane. And it wasn't it wasn't crippling by any means, but it still affected the way that I thought, the way that I interacted with people, the way that I painted. I saw it come through in a lot of my art, which was really fascinating. And again, that led me even deeper into the study of the neuroscience of creativity. Like when the brain is compromised or when a region of the brain isn't functioning as normally as it would, what then happens to the rest of it? Does it overcompensate? Does it shut down? You know, I was asking myself all these questions because I saw it manifesting firsthand in my own work. And it was really, really quite fascinating. It was a good year and a half of not really knowing what was going on. And then after I started kind of turn a corner in my healing journey, I looked back at that work. I was very reflective, very, very curious about what happened. I was like, oh, this is really fascinating. Like what happened there? Really, really intriguing. And as weird and as strange and as difficult as all of that was, I wouldn't know myself as well as I do right now if it weren't for those moments of weakness, so to speak, and those injuries and things that kind of took me outside of my, you know, I had to kind of relinquish control of certain outcomes, and that was a hard lesson to learn, a hard pill to swallow, that I can't be in control all the time, and I have to adapt, and I have to adjust. I have to sometimes rest. I have to sometimes slow down. I have to, you know, adapt to the rhythms of life and the cadence. It's, again, if we're going to speak musically, like a good piece of music isn't the same all the time. There's rests. There's so many different harmonies. It's a different compilation of different moments, and that's what I believe we have to let life become too. And I learned that big time through. Especially the last 3-4 years of my life, that not everything is going to be like smooth sailing and you have to roll the punches. But being able to look back at all of that and, you know, again, tap into that curiosity and ask yourself those questions and then being able to apply that to what you want to do moving forward, I think is insanely, insanely important.
And I think in a way, when you are injured, what you create at that time, and you've said that by looking back on this work as well, is probably not what you would have if you had been well, fit and healthy, mm-hmm. no injury, whether, and this is just, I'm talking across the board here with any sort of injury or even, you know, you've had to have surgery for a specific thing and you're able to create in some way, shape or form when you're recovering. I think what you're doing at the time is, what feels like this to me, is you're doing whatever it is your body and brain needs to do, probably more your brain. I think your body might be aching for the thing you usually do, but you can't, mm-hmm. you know, if you're limited physically in your recovery. But then in a way, I think one of the good things about that is because you're often forced to create differently, like in a different way than when you are physically well, you get the chance to see how you can approach the similar thing, but in a different way. Like, because mm-hmm. you're working with the limitations that you currently have within your body, you still want to be creating.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I think in a way, like I'm not advocating for everyone to go out and break a leg just to see what, you know, that does for your art practice. But then by the same token, it does give you a different way of approaching things, I think.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you can learn to apply that to any part of your life. And again, that's a gift. You're being able to just see things a little bit differently and being able to shift our perspectives and It's a skill, but first and foremost, it's a choice, you know?
Mm.
So it's, you know, when you, that's one thing that has become very apparent to me. It, again, it is what you make it. Like, you can choose to go one way or the other. You can choose to live in a you know, a woe is me mentality, the victim mentality, and, you know, kind of operate in that. And don't get me wrong, I've been there. Like, we all do, you know, we're human. We're going to fall into those moments of weakness. And sometimes we don't know what to do, but again, by nature, we are resilient and we were given the abilities to again, problem solve and to get creative and again, free will. Like, we were given the ability to choose. That's a part of our higher thinking as us as humans. No other creature has those abilities, that higher level of thinking and agency. And that is absolutely amazing. And being able to, I think it's a disservice to not only ourselves, but to other people if we don't access that, if we don't utilize those skills, those ways of thinking, that way of being, that ability to choose and to get better, to evolve, to adapt. You know, there's, you know, we have to, because it's, we're either moving towards life or moving towards death. You know, we are gonna all die eventually, you know, us being human. But I do believe, like, your choices have a huge impact. You know, there's outcomes, there's cause and effect, you know, to everything that we do. And that was also a really big learning lesson for me through all of this, is that, you know, one thing can impact you and can completely change the trajectory of things. But again, you can get back on track, or you can make the most of your situation. And you just have to, again, know yourself, be honest with your limitations, be honest with, you know, with where you're at, and be able to adapt and move forward, and, you know, use the gifts that we were given in that way.
So with all of that in mind, let's say you're going to start a whole new piece. You have constructed a canvas. We've gone, mm-hmm. That's done. How do you then begin? Like, what informs your choice of everything? Color, your choice of materials you're going to use. Mm-hmm. Like, are there conscious decisions, or are you just working with whatever feels right in the moment?
So great question. I work very, it's interesting, because I used to work very, very intuitively. Like, I would kind of listen to what was speaking to me, if there was like a certain color or like a idea that I wanted to see come to life. It was all just like very exploratory and very experimental, and just kind of whatever I was feeling. And then honestly, it wasn't until recently where the process has become both very informed and very intuitive. And I've given space for both of those kind of processes. I think there's a, for me specifically, there's a time and a place. I think I make some of my best work when I first take the time to inform and to study and to kind of absorb whatever it is. And then I feel my intuition start to fire up a little bit stronger, which is really interesting. So the more input I give myself, the stronger the output's going to be. And that's something I've come to learn about myself, how I work very, very uniquely. And, like I had mentioned before, I I've taken a little bit more of a scientific process and a little bit more of that experimental and, or excuse me, a little bit more of that, you know, the trial error type of format. Like seeing what works and seeing what doesn't. I do a lot more studies now. I don't go straight to the canvas. I want to practice. I want to kind of flush out ideas because, again, materials are, if we're speaking logistically, materials are not cheap. Mm-hmm. And I want to use it wisely. So, you know, I will take time to do a digital mock-up or sketches or something just to kind of get my wheels turning. But on another note, I am very color-driven, if you haven't been able to pick up on that from my work already.
Oh, I could. Trust me, I could. And I love it. I love it.
I love it too. It's color psychology is so fascinating to me. So I'm always thinking about the meaning of color, like how the specific colors will be used to influence or intrigue my audience. Like I am thinking of those things in the back of my mind because I do believe, like, you know, the output that we produce, you know, that's important. Like I don't want it to just be this, you know, I want to be intentional about the work that I put out. I want there to be excellence behind it, not perfectionism, but I do believe that, you know, we have the ability to influence subconscious, like the way people think, the way people see, by the work that we put out. And that's very, very deep conversation to have. And that's something that's like recently really caught my eye, caught my interest and sparked this new way of thinking. But back to color psychology, I am intentional about the colors that I use. And there will be a time that more often than not where there's a certain color that stands out to me and I see it everywhere. I you know, anywhere I go, I start to notice it. I'm like, what's going on here? And then I want to study it. I want to kind of fixate on it and then paint with it and explore what it does and kind of the meaning that comes out behind it. And, you know, what does it feel like musically? I've also discovered that I'm partially synesthetic. You know, I have synesthesia. If you're familiar with what that is, I can, are you?
Yeah, but maybe for the sake of the listener who doesn't, do you want to give them a quick little rundown of what it is? That's probably a good idea.
Yeah, absolutely. So synesthesia, and I may not get the exact definition right, but from
that's fine.
It is a psychological phenomenon where one can experience one sense through the lens of another. So, for example, one can taste color, or you can pair numbers with certain colors or certain sounds, or, you know, your senses start to intertwine and integrate. It's so cool. There's different kinds of synesthesia. And when I discovered that that's something that's just the way I naturally think, again, I was like, oh, I want to learn more about this. It's so fascinating. I experience music through color and color through music. So there are certain sounds that just light up as certain colors for me. Like the cello, for example, is a magenta. Jazz is, you know, it's like this really beautiful deep indigo blue. And, you know, there's certain things that just light me up in ways that it's not just through my visual field. I can feel it in my body. Like I get a visceral response, or like a sensation in my body, in like different parts of my body, which is really interesting. And so if I hear a piece of music or a song that I love that really intrigues me, I want to paint what that sensation feels like and looks like inside my body. So that's become a really fine-tuned part of my process as of recent. I you know, as I was saying before, it was like kind of open-ended. It was very kind of wide and experimental. And now I've started to fine tune the direction that is just fascinating and fun to me, and starting to understand what my language is and what my, you know, what my original sound is, so to speak. So it's been really, it's just kind of crazy to see, again, like talking through this, I'm, you know, jogging my memory about what I've learned and experienced over the last few years, and you know, how quickly that's moved. And I'm excited to see where it's going to go. I mean, there's still so much I have to learn and so much to experience. And, but it's just really, really quite incredible to see what my brain is doing, you know, post concussions. Like, this is something that became new to me. It kind of came online after my brain injury. Like, I started to experience synesthesia to a completely different degree after my healing process. And there are some things that are still, you know, not quite the same as they used to be. But oh my goodness, it's really quite fascinating. And again, I wouldn't be making the work that I'm making right now had it not been for some of those injuries. Like, my work is more fascinating and more interesting. And I think I can connect to maybe a different audience and a, you know, a fine-tuned niche in a way, had I not gone through this, you know, the experience that I did. So, I mean, everything's for a reason, everything's for a purpose. And it's just this, that's, you know, my story. I want that to come through in my art, in my process. And again, that's honest and original work, and it's fun. It's beautiful. Color is just one of my favorite things, and I'll continue to speak with color, and it's one of my all-time favorite things.
Is there a particular material that you use that really, really is the essence of you? Like, when you are using it, you feel at one with that material.
Oh, I love that. I'm trying to think of if there's like a specific type of paint. I'm like, what? Like, what's my favorite type of paint? Because that's, I love really, really thick, cakey paint. Like, that to me, it's like there's a sculptural quality to it. And I love to layer. I love to like manipulate it on the canvas. I love to mix in different things with it, like water it down, or, you know, scrape it off, or do whatever with it. There's so much you can do with a really like deliciously thick paint, and that's one of my favorite things. And yes, I do get plenty messy with it, like get it all over my hands and all over my clothes and everything. But it's just so fascinating to me, because there's like the depth that comes with that layering, and like the surface level, like you have to get up close and engage with it, you know, like it kind of draws you in. You see the layers, you see that surface level, and your brain goes, whoa, what's that? I want to like try to figure that out. So that for me, it's so much fun. Like I connect with that. And I love being able to also like draw and kind of scribble and, write, if that what the painting calls for. But again, just like a really childlike, very uninhibited kind of process. Like that's just, it's so much fun to me.
That was immediately what I thought of when you said you get messy. I just thought, there's that inner child again. Like, there is that, that childhood. It keeps
me young.
Yeah. Doesn't it just, oh my goodness me, guys, this is the key to the secret of a youthful life, staying young forever. Get messy.
Amen to that. I couldn't agree more. It's so fun. I love getting messy.
Yeah, it is fun, isn't it? I mean, the cleanup part isn't so much, but you know, that's okay. You can't have one without the other.
It's exactly. And it's organized chaos at the end of the day. That's how I've kind of operated. So
I for one love it, and I am here for it. So
thank you. Thank you.
Gianna, this conversation has just been wonderful. I've just loved this so much. You've got my brain going in so many different ways. I do kind of feel like maybe, and look, maybe we need to return. I'm feeling, I don't know what this is, but lately my past few conversations with people, I keep thinking I need to come back to these conversations in like 6 months time or something, because I feel like, one, there's still so more to discover and so more to sort of unpack, but also I want to see where you are in 6 months or 12 months. Like, I feel like you're in the midst of a big bunch of growth, and I want to hear more about it. So maybe we return to this conversation sometime during the year to come, I think, if you're up for
absolutely. It. Oh, absolutely. That would be that would be a really interesting conversation to see what happens.
Yes, definitely. All right, to be continued.
I love it. Part two.
Yes. So, could you share just before we sign off? Could you share with the listeners where they can find you online, so they can see what you're doing, follow you to see what's going on? We love a bit of shout out here.
I love that. Well, thank you. You can find me on Instagram, first and foremost, at Gianna Tassone, my first and last name. Also my website. I do keep more of my portfolio work on my website. Again, same thing, GiannaTassone.com. I'm in a few galleries here and there kind of across the states, and that's on my CV right now. But excited to see what will happen in the future and whatnot. But yeah, GiannaTassone.com or same thing on Instagram.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you. I
love this conversation. We need a part two.
Yeah, I agree. Well, thank you for the questions. I got my wheels spinning. There are parts I couldn't stop talking about. So thank you. It was fantastic. Oh,
it's my pleasure.
Awesome.
Oh, that was great.
Would you be interested in making a one-off payment to support us? In return, you'd be helping to keep the podcast going and would also get access to our bonus episodes. Let me know what you think via Kim@artsupplyposse.com or via Instagram.